Thank you so much for joining us today on the Brilliant Business Moms podcast, episode 45, with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we were delighted to speak with Beth Wahlberger of Little Delights Cakes. Beth is a self-taught cake baker and decorator, and you definitely have to check out her website, Little Delights Cakes, because you will be amazed at how beautiful her cakes are. Beth has found a way to add monetization to her business nationwide, even though cake baking is a very regional thing. Beth has also certainly succeeded on Pinterest. Her numbers will astound you like they astounded us. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are so excited to welcome Beth Wahlberger. She's the owner of Little Delights Cakes. She makes cakes, cupcakes, cake pops, and other beautiful desserts for special events. Her one rule is that each treat tastes just as good as it looks. Beth lives in Folsom, California with her husband and 5 kids. Welcome to the show, Beth.
Thanks for having me here. I'm glad to be here.
Beth, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and your business?
Sure. We moved to Folsom about 10 years ago when we had 3 children. And when our 4th son was born, he was born with some special needs that made it so we had a lot of lifestyle changes. I couldn't get around as easily. He has a trach and a feeding tube. And so that drastically changed our life. And I found myself just at home more, taking care of him. And then 18 months later, we had another baby, and he had some of the same issues. So I was already a stay-home mom, but now I was even more of a stay-home mom. And I started just having, you know, I was at home and I started making a little more elaborate birthday cakes for my children. And as I was baking one day, I came up with a frosting and I was just experimenting with different recipes. And I tried it and I thought, you know what, this is really good. Maybe I could do something with this. So I started just offering to friends. If they, you know, I sent out an email to some friends of mine saying, hey, if you want a teacher's gift, here's what I'm offering. And that's about the only advertising I ever did. I started getting busier and busier. I started out doing mostly cupcakes and then started branching out into cakes, and now I do mostly cakes. But as a mom with not only 5 kids, but kids with special needs, it's been really nice to have something I can do from home that is a little bit of a creative outlet that's not anything to do with children or medical needs and all that side of it. But it also financially helps our family a little bit. So I would say as hard as it is to balance it all, it's been a blessing for our family as long as I'm not too crazy with it.
So how busy does the cake business keep you? I mean, how many orders might you have in a week, or how much time do you think you have to devote to it?
That has been the hardest part. For the first couple years that I was doing it, I've been doing it about 6 years. And so the first couple years, I wasn't as busy. It was more just here and there. But the last couple years, it started to take over my life. Like every spare minute, there were weeks I would do 6 or 7 cakes, like basically finish one, right on to the next, just craziness. And that was too much. So I decided, okay, this is obviously people like what I'm doing, but it's affecting my family now because I'm too busy. I don't have time to be doing all the things I want to be doing as a mom. So I really started cutting back by, I thought by raising the price of, you know, for the decorating and that it would slow down. It didn't really. So I was glad I raised the price, but then I started really having to schedule ahead and just say, here's my cutoff. And I started having to just decide what can I handle and still be still do the other things that are really my first priority, which are my children. But like this week I have 5 orders, but only 2 of them require decorating. The other 3 are just baked goods. So that's manageable. It's just when I start doing too many themed cakes that I can't add a lot. I can't add any additional orders on.
Your themed cakes are just beautiful, and I know my daughters would just die if they could have a frozen cake that looked as good as yours did or do.
That's so nice. That's been a popular theme. Yeah.
So Beth, it sounds like you've found a way to manage the busyness. And I'm curious with people just having to kind of schedule further out, are you booked several weeks ahead to where you have to tell people if you want a fancier item, you'll need to book 4 weeks out, or how does that work?
Yes, that's basically how it's working out. I really need to put some kind of, I have a Facebook page, and I really need to put some kind of message out that, giving people a time limit or a time cutoff. But I'm finding that people are getting better at calling further ahead. And so, like for example, October is almost completely booked, but I still have a little more time at the end of September. So it's just kind of, when people contact me about an order, I just have to say, here's what will work that month. I can't do anything themed, but I can do something that's just pretty to eat, so I kind of have to. A lot of people are flexible. If they want something very specific, they usually do call me in advance because it's going to be the centerpiece for their table or that kind of thing. If people call a week in advance, usually they're just happy to work with whatever I can do that week, which is nice.
So with cakes, is it tough because you need to finish up your product right before you deliver it to your customer? I would think, is there kind of a little bit of a lack of wiggle room on when you can actually bake compared to when they want your cake, compared to like another product that sits on the shelf for a long time? But I would imagine yours would have to be made pretty close to the event.
Yes, that is definitely something that is harder about this type of business, because if I was making, I have a friend who does really cute bracelets or that kind of thing, and obviously the planning has to work a little differently. What's nice is that I can freeze things, and so I don't ever freeze anything for more than 2 weeks, but I've got 3 refrigerators and 2 freezers out in my garage, and as long as everything's wrapped very well, I can freeze it. So what I'll do is, for example, this weekend I have 3 cakes that need to go out, and I know, and so over last weekend, I baked and stacked 2 of them and wrapped them really well and put them in the freezer. So now I'll just take them out the day before they're due to be picked up. I'll decorate them then. And some of the decorations I can work on, like some of the fondant, I'm doing a cake for a 16-year-old that we're going to do. Car keys, maybe a phone, just that kind of stuff. That doesn't need to be on the cake, obviously, until the last minute. So I can work on all of that while the cake's in the freezer. That also brings in, I've got to have the storage space, and I can't plan too many things just because I don't have room, to store them. So that definitely is something that adds to the stress factor of it. But since I've been doing it for a while, I kind of have it down to a little bit of a science where I kind of know what can, like I can make frosting, and I have a refrigerator that is super cold, so it'll store there really well. It's just kind of figuring out how everything works. I think that was probably a long, drawn-out answer to your question, but.
No, it was great. So, Beth, we've noticed that you have a pretty solid Facebook following with lots of fans over there and interaction as well. Do you have any tips on how you've accomplished that?
Facebook is great for local friends because then they start. I made it separate from my personal account because obviously I don't want to inundate my friends with pictures of cakes. But I found that a lot of my friends follow like that, and they want to follow me on the other business side. But one way that my followers have grown is also through Pinterest. That doesn't benefit me as far as local sales, but because I'm basically as busy as I can be, I'm not looking to expand or start working out of a kitchen I rent, which is an option if people really want to start expanding their business. I've started using Pinterest, and that has helped just get people onto my website, because I also have a website that helps me as far as Google Ads. That's another way to help support your small business. So if you have a website that where you offer, for example, I offer cake decorating tips. And so I started just posting some of that on Pinterest. And I have about 50,000 followers on Pinterest now, because it seems like it's a genre where people really like to look at that stuff, even if they're not going to order a cake from me. So I started using Google Ads. Anybody can do that. They can just start their blog, and then there's a way you go on to Google on their ad section. If you go on their website, it's easy to find it. And they will watch your site. They'll watch your blog for a little bit. And if it looks like it's a, you know, that you're not a spammer or something like that, then they'll allow you to post ads on your website. So I just have little ads that really, I mean, it's not like it's a huge chunk, but it's still another little way to get revenue from my business. And so anytime people click on the ads that are on my website, I get a few pennies or something like that. You know, it takes a lot of traffic, but it's just another way that you can start getting benefit from social media. And then that also has helped with my Facebook account, because on my website, I just make sure that people know you can find me on Facebook. And I just started on Instagram because I'm a little behind. I know Instagram is a big, my kids are on that constantly. So I'm trying to catch up with the next trend, I guess you could call it. But that's what I've done with social media.
That's great. I love how you've leveraged Pinterest to bring more traffic to your blog. And that's so smart that, you know, even though you're a local business and clearly there's a limit to how many cakes you can make and things like that, but you can also generate that revenue from the Google ads on your blog because you're getting so much traffic from people who are interested via Pinterest and other forms of social media. I think that's really smart.
Well, thanks. I get good advice from good friends, you know, so that helps. But
how did you get your Pinterest followers to that very large number? It's no small task getting 50,000 Pinterest followers. So do you have tips for that?
I do. It takes time. So you basically want to show other people that are on Pinterest that you are willing to pin on their boards lots of great pins. I don't just post my pins. I go on other, you know, I post pins that are just cute, that are good from other people's websites as well. So when you go on Pinterest, you can find, if you type in a genre or a, you know, like for example, I put in cakes or cake decorating or DIY cakes or any, you know, anything like that. And you can find boards that are community boards, and you ask the owner, the first person that's on the, well, I guess I won't get too specific, but people that are familiar with Pinterest, when there's a community board, you find the creator of that board and you message them and say, hey, can I be on your board? They'll look at your account and maybe they'll invite you, maybe they won't. But I went through and found some community boards that looked like they would be beneficial to my type of pin that I wanted to use. And then I started pinning my pins as well as other pins on their board. Nobody wants you to come on there and just put all your own stuff. But if you go on and put a couple of yours and then a couple other great pins that you found on Pinterest, then that's the way you'll just start to get people following you, because they see that you're pinning great stuff and they want to just see what you're doing.
That's great advice. I know Sarah and I have recently started, we have a Pinterest account for Brilliant Business Moms, and I have started reaching out to request to be on some of the group boards. So, and it really does. It pays off. I've already seen, you know, repins happening from us being on those group boards and some traffic back to our website. So
Right. Oh, I'll have to go find you.
Definitely. And we'll pin this episode. We'll have a cute picture of you and all of that. And so we'll put that on our Pinterest and tag you in it. So.
Oh, nice. Okay, good.
Oh, I was curious real quick. How many years have you been on Pinterest?
I've just been on there for 2 years.
Okay.
I had a personal account a long time ago, but I never really did much with it. So then I started up again. I did it separate from my personal account because I didn't want to inundate my friends. And so that way I could just have one focus more for my business and then keep my own stuff separate, you know. So, I started really working on my business account about 2 years ago.
I think that's really encouraging for anyone listening that, you know, you can build a really great Pinterest following in that period of time by focusing on quality, and that's great.
Right. Yeah, and it's an investment of time, but I think it pays off. You know, if you just say, okay, I'm going to go on there for an hour a day, then over time that really just starts. And I never was on it for just an hour. You know how Pinterest is. You get sucked in longer and longer. But if you can focus, then you can, it doesn't have to take your whole day.
So you've got a couple of different avenues going at the same time. You're clearly focusing on Pinterest. You're focusing on getting that great Facebook following. You have blog posts about different cake decorating techniques, plus you're actually baking cakes. So how do you find time to fit all of this into your day, plus with your kids, or how do you balance your time to focus on your business and still have time for family and children and things like that?
Well, I'm sure as you know, I mean, your kids are going to grow up so fast. And really about a year ago, I was really struggling trying to figure out, what do I do? Because I really don't want to look back and think, oh, I should have spent more time with them. I'm never going to look back and think, oh, I wish I'd made more cakes. But I am going to look back and think, oh, I wish I might have had more time with them. And so I really have been prayerful about it. And I really feel like, I think Heavenly Father's involved in our lives and the details. And I feel like I can get a little guidance that way. You know, if I feel like I'm kind of going down a path that I'm hoping is beneficial, then I'm just hoping that he'll give me a little guidance if, okay, maybe wait, hold up, focus more on this. And so to me, that's invaluable. I don't know if everybody uses faith as part of their business, but for me, I really couldn't do it any other way because my first goal is to be a mom. And then the other stuff is kind of, no pun intended, but icing on the cake. You know, it's great to be able to do something I love, and it's great to be able to do something that can benefit our family. But if my kids or my husband is suffering, it's no benefit. I guess my goal has been to I didn't start out, oh, I want to have this business. I just thought, okay, I'll just do a little bit. I still remember when I went to my husband, I said, okay, I'm thinking about offering this to my friends. What do you think about me investing in 100 boxes? They were the size for the jumbo size cupcake. I said, should we invest in this? I don't know if I'll even use them all, you know, but he's like, sure, go ahead. You know, he's always been supportive, but I was so nervous to do that, but I felt good about it. You know, I felt like, okay, this could be good. I ordered those boxes, and now out in the garage I order so many different boxes now, but I just think each step you go, I didn't set out thinking, oh, I want to have a business where I'm baking wedding cakes and doing all this, but I just took it a little bit at a time. I just kept thinking, okay, do I feel good about this? Is this really helping our family? And so I would go forward. And there was a couple times where I thought, this is a lot, you know, when we have the special needs, the regular needs, all the things going on with our kids. And there were a couple times where I very specifically thought, should I quit this? Should I stop this? And when I prayed about it, I felt good about continuing. So there were very two specific times that happened, and I thought, okay, I'm going to keep trying to find the balance, but I am going to keep going forward with this, but trying to do the other things where I don't make the financial side the biggest priority. I don't know if that makes sense, but it seems like when you're trying to do what's going to be best for your family, it works out. So that's what I'm trying to do.
I like your one step at a time and very introspective approach to how you're handling all of this and putting a lot of thoughtful consideration into each step along the way and is it working or is it not working. So I think that's right. Very wise.
I think it's been really neat too to see, Beth, that many of the moms we've interviewed are Christians, and so it's so wonderful to see the way their faith impacts their business and, you know, helps them stay grounded and choose the right priorities and things. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
So, Beth, what's the one accomplishment in your business that you'd say you're most proud of?
Okay, well, I think the one thing I'm the most proud of, as far as where I am with my little business today, is the fact that I taught myself through others, of course, you know, looking up a technique on Google or looking at pictures and reading about things online, but it's not something I went to school to do. I feel like there's a lot of things like this out there that a lot of moms could do where you feel like you have a passion for something. Like, I love to bake. I liked that more than I liked cooking. And granted, that wasn't very helpful when the kids would say, "What's for dinner?" I'd be like, "Well, we have cookies." You know, I mean, that's not really how it should. So when I realized I really enjoy doing this, but what should I do with it? So I'm really proud, I guess, that I was able to recognize a talent or a natural skill and then use that instead of trying to just think, kind of like I said before, instead of having the goal be, oh, what does someone else do that they do well with? I'm going to copy that. Or I tried to find something that was a natural love and also maybe a natural talent. And I think there's a little bit of that in everybody. They start to maybe pay attention to what they do enjoy, that I think that's always going to be the thing they're most successful at. But that's just my opinion, I guess. But that's, I think I'm proud of that.
I definitely agree that focusing on interests and talents that you already have is key in creating a business that works for you in your life. And you definitely should be proud if you're self-taught on becoming such a terrific baker. And I was curious too, because your cakes are so artistic. Do you have art training at all? The things that you do with the fondant, especially, we mentioned frozen before, it's so artistic. Do you have a background in that at all?
You know, I don't. I mean, a lot of the times when I've been doing stuff, I remember, it reminds me of playing with Play-Doh when I was a kid. You know, because you make your little, I used to make little swans or little, but it's not ever something I would have if I had thought this was something I was going to do. I would have loved to have taken a class or something, but I never thought this was an avenue I would probably pursue. But I do have, like, I have a sister who, she's an artist and she loves to sew, or I think it's just kind of the way maybe my creativity comes out. I can't draw, I can't sew, I can't do other things, you know, but I can use my hands, I guess. So, and I'm also really good at cakes because I'm not good at, if someone wanted me to do a realistic face of their face, I would say, sorry, I can make a cartoon version, but I can't, you know, I'm not a real sculptor. I'm just kind of a, you know.
I think that's great. And I think it's true what you said, that there are so many talents that moms out there have. And, you know, we have the resources now to go and learn and just build that into a great business. I have to say, too, though, I was definitely not making swans with my Play-Doh when I was a kid. So I think that you definitely had some natural talent back then that maybe you didn't realize. Because I think pancakes were about the extent of
snakes, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look at what you're both doing now. I mean, I would never even know where to start with podcasts and all that kind of stuff. So you follow what you enjoy, I think.
True. Beth, I did want to ask too. Now, since you're not really advertising, you're just selling your products to friends and it's kind of a word of mouth business. But have you gone through the process of, I know that there are different rules from like the health department. I've heard of home-based bakers having to kind of get a license or have the health department look at their kitchen. Do you go through all of that as well or not yet?
Not yet, because what I am technically is a hobby with income. So when I do my taxes and claim the money I've made, that's what it's filed under. I don't have a business license. And I make sure people know that. I mean, most people know that already, but because it's just coming out of my kitchen. But to become a business, you're exactly right. I would have to basically redo my kitchen, have like a stainless steel sink. There's a lot of, health code things that have to be at a certain place. That's why some moms who want to be a business rent a kitchen and go and do their baking there. That way they can be an official business. There's a certain amount of money that you have to make before you have to become a business. And so I think it's different for every area. I actually don't even really know what it is for California, but I'm assuming someone told me it's pretty high. I'm kind of afraid to look. I kind of don't want to know, but I should look. I'm thinking I'm not at that level yet where I'm selling as much as like a commercial store. Obviously, I'm not selling as much as a bakery or commercial store. That's why I am still a hobby with income, which is the way to go as you're getting started. So, of course, I'd love to redo my kitchen. I can't really justify it at this point, but sure, if anybody wants to invest in my little business and redo my kitchen, I am on board. Yeah.
That is a great way to get started out. Even though I have a background in accounting, I didn't realize that you could do the hobby with an income. I know there are rules about if you're running something as a business but you have losses for too many years, they say, no, you can't claim those losses. That's just a hobby. But I didn't realize there was something on the flip side. I'll have to definitely – I'm curious now. I really want to look into this because it makes what you're doing so much more feasible for so many different other mom businesses within, like, the food industry to try out and see how it goes.
Right. And that way it's not a pressure at first. Oh, I have to do all these things and invest all this money when you're just maybe just doing a few things a month. You know, it's kind of – I'd be curious. Feel free to forward me any information you find. It's one of those things where I keep thinking, I'll get to that, and I never get to it, you know. So for now, though, people know – I make sure they know it's just out of my kitchen. They see where it's coming from. I'm a hobby with income, but no one's gotten sick so far. So I'm.
Oh, I'm sure. Those health department rules, they have to go above and beyond set these high standard rules.
Yes.
Related to that, though, since you're running it as a hobby with income and not as an official business at this point, do you track income expenses and you're using products that you have in your home, like flour and sugar? So how do you work all of that out?
I keep all my receipts. At first I was just going back through my receipts and highlighting the things that I use for my business. But now I've started, because I use such large quantities of flour and sugar. I mean, I just have two buckets that I keep that are all full of sugar, full of flour, and I just keep replenishing them. But I've started when I go through, like when I go to Costco, I do the family stuff first, and then I do a separate order of my baking stuff. And that way I don't have to go back for my receipts. It just makes it easier. I just know this is the receipt for the business. And there's a little overlap, you know, sure, if I didn't use all the buttermilk for my red velvet cake, I might put it in the pancakes, but it goes both ways, you know. So for the most part, the materials I buy for my baking, I use them all for the baking. And then, you know, when I'm cooking for my kids, I really don't use a lot of white flour. I try to use like the whole wheat pastry flour, the whole wheat flour. So it's kind of easy to separate it that way, but that's how I do it.
That's good. It's good also that you know you are a hobby with profit. If you're tracking your expenses and then you're tracking your revenue,
right,
you can obviously tell, am I making money at this hobby or am I not? Because it's so easy to really not pay attention to that. And I'm sure, unfortunately, there are a lot of businesses out there where people think they're making money, but in reality.
Right. One year I remember going through it at the end of the year going, wait a minute, what? This is all I made? That was before I started raising my prices. But that's part of the, by the time you expense everything, so I have an Excel, you know, I have a little program where I put in all my expenses, and then I have a book as I'm going where I can just write in, oh, they paid me for this much for this cake, so that I can enter that later. Because, yeah, it's so easy to think, oh, I've been getting all these checks for these cakes, but then I forgot, oh, yeah, what did we spend on? We got an oven, or what do I spend on all my container? You know, it adds up really fast, all the different things that you invest into your business. So yeah.
So Beth, have you had a low point in your business? And if so, how have you pushed past that?
Yes. I mean, I think, well, kind of those two times that I mentioned earlier where I really felt like I'm completely overwhelmed. I mean, I just felt like I wasn't getting enough sleep. I was staying up so late working on cakes, and I was missing soccer games, and that was tough. I guess I can't really complain. As I'm saying this out loud, I'm realizing, well, in a way, that's a blessing that I had so much business. But it was hard, you know, feeling like I should be doing this because I want to help the family. But then I was completely overwhelmed. And so the way that I got past that was kind of like we were saying earlier, through prayer and thinking about it really thoughtfully, instead of just getting caught up in it. It's like a whirlwind, you know, oh, sure, I'll do this. And I think especially as women, we're like, oh, I can do that. Sure, I can do that. And we just take it all on and then forget that it's okay to say, no, I can't. You know, I had to think about the fact, I'm not asking this friend to go spend 2 days doing something for my child. So you have to remember, it is a business. You're not doing this for your health. And so you need to be okay not saying, I needed to learn to be okay saying no to friends when I really couldn't do it. You know, and nobody's ever offended. You know, nobody ever, they understand, but I had a hard time saying no. So that was huge for me because I was just completely overwhelmed. And so learning to say no was, and also getting that little inspiration that, okay, this is really what I should still be doing, was how I got past that, wanting to quit.
Saying no is definitely an important but learned skill, yes. I think. It does not come naturally.
Right.
You mentioned earlier about, and correct me if I'm wrong, about maybe friends giving you some business advice about when you were discussing the Google AdWords in your blog. Is that correct? Is there a business friend that you've kind of relied on for advice on growing your business?
I have there's a few. Like, I have a friend whose husband is a lawyer, so he's the one I talk to about, oh, what can I, do you know about what I should claim on my taxes? And then I have another friend who is fabulous with different marketing things on the internet. So, and then just kind of also reading online. You know, there's a lot of people out there who, I remember looking at Pinterest, oh, good ways to grow your Pinterest. There's so many answers out there. I mean, there's nothing you can't Google, for one thing. But I have been grateful to my friends who are so willing to share their perspective on different things too.
So if you had to narrow it down, is there one great piece of business advice from a friend that you've really taken to heart, or maybe a piece of advice that you would want to share with other women who want to grow their business?
I can't say this is my advice. I may have even heard it on Oprah. I don't know. You know, but I just think it all goes back to doing something you love. Even if you don't think, oh, this would be a great business. You know, even if you don't think, oh, this would be, I just think it's, you can't fake it. That's what I really feel like. I mean, I've seen other people who have 200,000 followers on Pinterest and they do DIY building shelves or like all different things. And I thought, you know what, that's great for them, but I can't fake that. I can't pretend I know what I don't know. And so I think you just have to do something that you enjoy and love, because otherwise you're not going to have enough interest. I guess that would be it. You have to follow something that you... No, I'm not. That doesn't mean it's easy, but it just means it's something that you are naturally inclined towards. Otherwise, it's not. I just think it's very difficult.
I think that's great advice. And you're taking your passion, you're taking your talent. And I think, too, Beth, you've done a great job of providing excellent value and just having a great product. And so when those things come together, it's kind of like the business growth naturally follows. So that's great.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
So Beth, I know you're killing it with social media in terms of Pinterest and Facebook and now Instagram. Are there any other online tools or apps that you use that help you in your business?
Those are really, in Instagram, I'm just getting started. I mean, literally, I think I have like 60 followers. I'm not killing on Instagram yet. No, and I'm always curious to know what the next thing will be, because part of the benefit and the downfall of social media is that they're kind of like hot flashes. Like Facebook is still a really great medium, but it's not as busy as it was, say, a year ago or 2 years ago. So it's like trying to figure out what is the next thing. I'm not really sure. I'm trying to get going on Instagram, but I think you always kind of have to be listening to what people are talking about, or even, my kids are getting more socially adept than I am on online. So just listening to what people go to, because I hear my friends saying, oh, I go on Instagram more now than I go on Facebook because it's easier, it's quick, like these kinds of things. So, nope, I'm looking for the next thing too. So let me know if you find it. Yeah.
We sure will.
Yeah.
Beth, earlier you mentioned showing people some of your cake tricks and tips and posting that sort of information for people to see. Do you have any plans to keep working on that or expand that or develop your business that way a little bit more?
Yes, I definitely am going to keep going with that because that's the nice thing about making cakes is it always gives me new material. And so I've found because of Pinterest, I have people sending me emails from across the world, or the UK or all different areas because Pinterest is all over the place, right? So, or even on Facebook, I'm getting messages from people who I'm trying to think of the further. I got a message from someone in Australia. So I definitely think that I want to keep going with the website because it's been a huge bonus, to be able to do that. Not only do I make the cake, they pay me for the cake, but then I can also generate a little more income through my website by talking about the cake and showing people, oh, here's how I did it. Some of my little, tutorials are a lot more in-depth than others, but it's actually the kind of website that I wish I could have found when I was starting out. How'd they do that little thing or what'd they use or, just things like that. So, yeah, that's definitely – and also it's been a nice – with my kids, I'm noticing I'm not a blogger. I'm putting it in quotes, blogger. I've started blogging about my family, and part of why I started doing that is because, you go on Facebook and you see everybody's best picture, best face, best vacation. And I thought, I was having a low moment this summer, and I just wrote about it, and then I shared it with some friends on Facebook, and I could not believe the responses I got because I think it's important for people to see, it's not all just, oh, snap your fingers, here it is. It's hard, Life throws things at you, and with the cake stuff even, it's been a long, it's hard, you're not just singing with a pretty apron on in the kitchen, you're really investing in your business and putting a lot of time and energy into it. So it's also been, the blogging posts for me have been therapeutic, just saying, hey, other moms, this is kind of how it is. And whether you have children with special needs or not, we all have these moments where we feel this way. So that's been a really nice outlet, even just for me. I don't really know how many people will ever read those posts, but it's been a very nice a way to even journal a little bit, I recommend it to anybody because you go on, if someone makes a website about painting, everybody always wants to go look at the person. Oh, what do you like? What are you doing? How did you get to here? So
I had the chance to look at some of those blog posts and I liked how genuine you were in expressing how things were going or how you were feeling about different scenarios and situations. And I can see why they resonated so well with other moms, because you were extremely real and open and honest and weren't trying to really hide anything. So
keep up the good. Maybe a little too honest sometime, but you know what? That's okay.
That's life. You were being yourself. You were being honest. I don't think you can be too honest, really, at all.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Beth, we've learned so much from talking with you today. It's been great to hear your story and the way you've shaped a business that really works for your life and for your family, and to hear how you've grown via social media. But as we wrap up today, do you have either a funny or adorable mom moment that's happened recently?
You know, I will just share, this is kind of a silly one, but it's one of my favorites. My son Ben is 7, and he looks like he's about 4, size-wise. He's not, he's just a little kid, and we're not sure if that's because of his disability or just how he is. So he can't ride a bike, so he has we got him one of those little motorized cars that you just drive around. It's like a little four-wheeler. And we're at the park, and his brother Ty got on behind him, and I said, okay, guys, they have their helmets on, they're looking at me, they're ready to go. And I said, where are you guys going? And they said, oh, we're just going right over there. And then I'm like, okay, stay where I can see you. Then I turn around and I hear them drive about, 10 feet and stop. And then Ben says, Ty, where do you want to go? And Ty points way across the field. He's like, to that place over there, far, far away. I'm like, okay.
They've got big plans, it sounds
like.
That's
right. Yeah, we'll stay close, Mom, and then really they're heading off to new horizons.
That's
but
cute.
I will say about being a cake maker, my kids do think it's pretty awesome. They will always complain that they don't get to eat enough cake, because people say, oh, you probably get cake all the time. They're like, no, we don't, because I they get some, but it's not like I'm like making cakes and leaving them on the counter for them to eat. I'm throwing stuff in the freezer, and I don't want them to eat all the junk all day long, but they do love that their mom makes these awesome cakes. That's kind of something that's kind of fun for me too.
I love that. You get that cool factor that's hard to have as a mom.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Beth, for all of our listeners out there, could you give them all of your websites and Pinterest account and contact information so that they can find you?
Oh, sure. My Facebook account is under Little Delights Cupcakes, because I started out doing cupcakes. But my website is littledelightscakes.com. And then my Pinterest is under my name, Beth Gamby. And my Pinterest username is Beth's Bakes. That's probably the best way to look it up. My Pinterest username is Beth's Bakes, BethsBakes. Other than that, I'm always happy to answer decorating questions by email. It's just my name, beth@wahlburger.com. And on Instagram, my very brand new account is under Little Delights Cakes.
Great. Thank you so much for that and for taking the time to talk with us today. We had a great time.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode on the Brilliant Business Moms podcast. If you missed anything during the episode, don't worry. Head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/45 for the show notes, resources, and links mentioned in this episode. So you don't have to worry about taking notes. It's all right there for you. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.